chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land I will show you. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. That's not real old, but 75 is a senior citizen. How many of you have had to move your family and your relatives and everybody at that age? Well, it wasn't no small thing, was it? He was 75 years when he departed out of Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, Sarah for short, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. They went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came.
Yeah.
Verse 6, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. You know, I don't try to go too far with biblical numbers, but I think there's some importance there. Number 6 is the number of man. Of course, the Canaanite was ungodly people. And then verse 7, the completion of this thought. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed, well, I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I'd like to speak tonight for a few minutes on the subject, making the move that makes the difference. Or just simply titled, Move. Not only making the move that makes the difference, but taking advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. Abram was from Ur of the Chaldees. And he died, Genesis 11, 28, and Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. The word Ur means flame. And this place was a city in southern Babylonia, the city of the Chaldeans, the center of moon worship.
Yeah.
It was the home of Abram's father, Terah, and departure point for Abram's migration to Mesopotamia and then on to Canaan. And it was a part of the religion in the Ur of the Chaldees to worship the moon, to worship the created thing, the creation. And I was discussing this with Brother Collins, and he said that he had heard or had researched that it was required by every woman in that land to serve once in their life as a temple prostitute. So this was a bad place. God called Abram. He told him to get up and get out. To move on out. His land, this land, as I said, was a place of idolatry. Joshua 24:2 confirms this. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Genesis 11:31, Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth from them, Ur of the Chaldees, going into the land of Canaan. They came into Haran and dwelt there. Haran was located in northeastern Mesopotamia in Padan Aram at the foot of Mount Masias, between the Kabar and the Euphrates River. It was a trade center on the route from Nineveh to Carchemish, the chief seat of worship to the moon god. Now get this. The name of the moon god was Sin. See, God told Abram to get out of this land. He told him to move out. And it was no small thing for Abram to do that. As I said, he was 75 years old. He was told by God to get out of his country, from amongst his kindred, and even his own father's house. Get out of there. Leave this place. This is a wonderful portion of Scripture in the Word of God. This passage of Scripture, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, the story of Abram and God's call of Abram. This is the beginning of the fourth dispensation, the dispensation of promise. Before that, we saw the dispensation of innocence when God created the heavens and the earth. He made the creation. He made all living things, and man and woman were created. They were innocent. They were without sin. God gave them one law, one commandment, one requirement. Eve was seduced by the devil, seduced by Satan, lied to by Lucifer. She broke God's one commandment.
Yes.
Then she talked her husband into breaking God's commandment.
Preach.
And that dispensation of innocence closed out, not without God desiring to save mankind. Oh, it's always been from the very beginning, even from the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned and broke God's moral law, broke that commandment. And they went out and took leaves and fashioned and formed unto themselves clothes to try to cover up their flesh, if you will, to try to cover up their sin. But they could not do it by their own works, because it's by the shedding of blood there is remission of sin. And so God, in His love and compassion, right from the very beginning, He made that promise to them that from the woman, the seed of the woman, there would be one that would come that would bruise the head of the serpent. The serpent would bruise his heel. And we know that that was Jesus Christ, because we're on this side of the promise. Thank God we are. We're in the dispensation of the church. You see, the promise is what I'm going to be talking about tonight. But after the promise came the dispensation of law that lasted 1,500 years and finished up when the first prophet, or the last prophet of the Old Covenant, came along, John the Baptist, and began to preach about the kingdom of God and the church age, the age of grace, how God dealt with man and dealt with the Israelite nation, and they rejected him for the most part. And so God opened up the way for the Gentiles to be saved, and that's where we come in. Hallelujah. We're in the sixth dispensation. The seventh, the last, is the kingdom. We're right at the threshold of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But we wouldn't have got here unless Abraham had made that move. He had to do it. He had to take a trip. He had to pack up his things and get out of that idolatrous land, that land of wickedness, that land of sin, where they worship the moon god Sin. You see, before you can come into the promised land, before you can get into Canaan's land, you're going to have to make a move. And that move is going to be the move right out of the life of sin. That's what repentance is. Leaving your sin.
That's right.
So get yourself out of that Ur of the Chaldees. Get yourself out of that Haran, where God is not going to be working with those people because of their idolatry. Get out of that place. Get out of that bad environment and take a trip.
Yeah.
Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham left. He didn't know where he was going.
Yes, sir.
But he'd been promised a wonderful place by God. You see, God never tells you to make a move. He never gives you an eviction notice without giving you the title to a new place. Hallelujah. And I want you to know when he tells you to move, he's not asking you to move out of some good situation, some place of blessing. He's asking you to move out of the place where the curse is going on and where sin is taking place and where he's about to judge. And he did judge them eventually. He's asking him to move out. Go to that land, that promised land. In the Hebrew Bible, the term get out means to run, means to flee, means to get gone. It means to run for your life. See, if Abram was going to get into the promised land, the place of blessing, the place of being in the will of God, he was going to have to run for his life. I like that song Brother Collins sings. I'm running for my life. I'm running for my life. Running for my life. I'm running for my life. Anybody ask you, what's the matter with me? Tell them that I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. I've got Jesus on my mind, in my sights, and I'm running for my life. That's what Abraham had to do. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to run. You're going to have to make a move out of that life of sin, because there's going to be no blessing there. There's going to be no promised land there. There's going to be no good things coming from the Lord. Land of flowing with milk and honey there. You're going to have to get out of sin. You got to leave the devil's kingdom before you can get into God's kingdom. He went not knowing where he would go. Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Yes, sir. It's got to be some obedience there. And he went out not knowing whither he went. God told him to leave his country.
Sure did.
That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
How would you like to leave the wonderful United States of America, the best country on planet Earth, and go to some other country that you didn't know where you were going? It's no small thing to leave your country. God told him to leave his country. God told him to leave his clan, his people, his kindred. That's a hard thing to do. Then he brought it down even tighter. Leave your father's house. That's a terrible thing that most people would think in their minds. I've got to leave my country. I've got to leave my people. I've got to leave my familiar surroundings. I've got to leave the place that I know everything about. This is where I grew up. This is my home. This is my place. This is where all the people that I know lives here. And God's asking me to pull up roots and leave? Natural affection must give way to divine grace. Our country is dear to us, our kindred dear, and our Father's house dearest of all. And yet they must be hated. If we're going to get into the will of God. Jesus confirmed this in Luke 14:26, when he said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yet even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. The word hate does not mean malice here. It means preference. If anyone make a preference above the Lord Jesus Christ. And that preference be their family, their mother, their father, even their wife, even their own life. He cannot be His disciple because Jesus Christ has to be number one in your life. His will has to be most important in your life. His plan that He has for your life is the most important thing for your life. And everything else is secondary. Everything else comes second next to the will of God for your life. You must prefer Jesus Christ above your father and your mother. Well, Brother Rick, we all know that. We know that we should make Jesus Christ first in our life. Well, I want you to know there's a lot of folks out there in the church world and even in the holiness fellowship that put their father and mother, their family first in their life. And if there's a decision that has to be made between the will of God and what mom and what dad wants to do, they go with mom and dad and get right out of the will of God. There's even churches that are locked up and locked down. I'm talking locking the doors on the churches. Because the family makes a decision to do something. It's against the will of God. You see, people think that blood is thicker than water, but I want you to know that the blood of Jesus Christ is more important than the very blood that's flowing through your veins. If it comes to a decision between you and your walk with God and your family members, you've got to go with God. No matter what. I came out of the Baptist church into a holiness church about 4 years ago. And my pastor, Brother John David Long, he preached holiness. He preached it good. He didn't go off into things that were not biblical. Just preached it straight down the line. And there was a family, a certain group of people in that church, and it was getting next to some of the things that they were doing. They decided they didn't want the pastor there anymore. So they called for a vote, but according to the bylaws of the church, they couldn't get a vote for the pastor. It had to be by a majority vote for the of the board. And only one member of a board of four said that they wanted that vote. And so it was set aside. I've been going to that church for over a year. And in the bylaws, it said you had to be a tithing member of the church for 6 months in regular attendance before you could even take part in a vote. And then all of a sudden, one Sunday, about 20 people showed up that I had never seen before in my life. And they said, we're going to have a vote anyway. And they lost. They walked out. You see, it was a family that was working together, and they concocted a scheme whereby they would take the church and incorporate under a similar name and then sell that church to their corporation for $10 and then go down to that church and change the locks out and put up no trespassing signs. And lock the people out. It's because they went with mom and daddy, brother and sister, aunt and uncle, against the will of God. I want you to know when the right choice is set before you and you make the wrong choice and you prefer what the family wants to do and what you want to do and what your mom and dad wants to do, what your wife wants to do, and that preference goes above the word of God and the will of God and the plan of God and righteousness and holiness, I want you to know that God is going to judge that thing. one of the perpetrators in the ordeal, not too long after that, got cancer. The other perpetrator in the ordeal now has had to resign the church because of failing health. And the people that want to bring in a pastor don't want to pastor the church themselves because they can't deal with the family problems.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
Blood is thicker than water, they might say. No. Blood is not thicker than water. Because you see, if a line has to be drawn between this book and what the family wants to do, let the family go and go with the Word of God. And God will bless you. And God will help you. And God will take you to the promised land. And God will provide for your needs. So we started another church. And we just about to finish a new church building that'll seat probably 300 on the one of the best pieces of property. The Lord just worked out miracle after miracle. That other church is just about dead. We must love them less than Christ, hate them in comparison with them. And whenever any of these come in competition with Him, they must be postponed, laid aside, canceled, put away, forgotten about, because the preference given to the will and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ is paramount. I don't have to think about it. Even 1 second when it comes to following the will of God or following the will of man. See, if I followed the will of man, I would have never went to the Ukraine. I would have never taught the Bible in four different universities over there. No one else that I know of has been able to teach over there. The Lord opened up the door and through the ministry of Faith Missions and Brother Thompson's mission, and the Lord opened up that door, and I would have never been able to walk through that door if I had not went with the Word of God. You see, the organization that I belonged to, they said I was crazy. They said I'd lost my mind because I wanted to follow this book and preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ. And now that institution is on probation. That seminary is on probation, just about to lose their academic standing.
How about that?
The pastor that told me that I was making the biggest mistake of my life, he's not even pastoring anymore. He resigned because he couldn't take the pressure.
Well,
and I'm going to go with what they suggest. They're out of their minds. Hallelujah. Because you see, if you follow the Lord, you may not know exactly where you're going, but it really doesn't make any difference as long as you know that you're in His hand and He's taking care of you and He's providing for you. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You know that you're in the hand of the hand of the man that still the waters and calmed the seas. He's taking care of all those that have followed Him down through the Word of God and down through the centuries. I'm not trusting in man. I'm not trusting in their organizations. I'm not trusting in their pensions or their insurance. I don't have any insurance. Almost died in Panama. I'm not over exaggerating either. You can ask my pastor, you can ask Brother Rich. And I said, Lord, if you want to kill me, I mean, if you want me to die, I'm going to heaven. I mean, what's the loss? If you want me to stay here, Lord, I'm going to keep preaching. Hallelujah. And you know what? The Lord touched me and completely healed me. In fact, I felt better after He healed me then than I did before I'd gotten sick. Came out better after I got sick than He healed me. Hallelujah. Let's follow the Lord. Why don't we, brothers and sisters, why don't we follow the Lord? Why don't we make that move that makes the difference? Why don't we take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us to leave that land of sin, to leave that land of degradation and decadence and wickedness, and get to the promised land? We may not know exactly where we're going or how we're going to get
But you know, that's part of the adventure. That's part of the wonder of following the Lord and living by faith. I don't know where I'm going to get my next offering, but I know He's given me one before this one, and one before that one, and one before that one. And I'm not getting starving to death. In fact, I need to probably go on a diet.
Right.
When I go to the Ukraine, that'll just about be automatic.
Yeah, right.
Hallelujah. We must love Jesus Christ and His will and His plan for our lives greater than anything in this world.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to pray if I pray by myself. I'm going to stand if I have to stand alone. It'll be worth it to make it to glory if they don't go, if mom doesn't go, and if dad doesn't go, and if aunt doesn't go, and uncle doesn't go, and grandpa and grandma don't go. I want them to go, but I'm not going to go to hell with them. I'm going to the glory world. I'm going to Canaan's land. I'm going to the promised land. I've made my reservation. I've made my mind up. I'm going with God. My parents thought I made the biggest mistake of my life. They have a different opinion now. Stand back and see the Lord work. Stand back and see God move. Because if you're in His perfect will, He's going to confirm it. He's going to confirm it. And even the doubters and the naysayers cannot doubt that. My parents can't doubt that the Lord's provided for me. They can't doubt that. My parents can't doubt that the Lord's not with me. I made 8 trips to the Ukraine, traveled over 100,000 miles last year by train and by plane and by automobile. Took my first train trip across the Ukraine, 12 hours one way and 12 hours back. It was about 25, 30 degrees outside, but inside that train it was about 90 degrees. And I tried to open up the windows, and the stewardess said, "Don't open that window, it's cold outside." I know, but it's hot in here. Can't you see us sweating? I can't hardly breathe, but there was nothing I could do. So I just said, "Lord, if you want me to suffer, that's all right, because I'm looking forward to that evangelistic meeting that I'm going to. I'm looking forward to those people that's going to come that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to seeing people get saved, and I'm looking forward to the work and the will of God in that place." We went there. 125, 130 people came to that service that had never been in church, heard the gospel. I gave the altar call. 100 people got saved in one service. And I'm going to follow the people that tell me don't go with that way. Don't go with those tongue talkers. Don't go with those holy rollers. Don't go with those people that believe in holiness and are legalists and have all these restrictions and requirements. Don't go with them. They're not following God. God's not going to bless you. God's not going to help you. That's a lie. And they dropped like flies. Their ministries went down the tubes. Their schools went down the tubes.
Right.
And God is still God.
How about that?
Hallelujah. We should even give up our own self. Our own selfish ambitions, our own personal goals and ambitions and ideas about what we're going to do with our life and where we're going to go and who we're going to marry and how we're going to live and where we're going to work. Forget all of that. Lay all that aside. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. You get your orders from headquarters. You get your orders from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you follow it strictly and to the letter, and God will bless you. God will help you. God will take you places you thought you'd never go. God will take you into victories you thought you'd never win.
Amen.
It's time to move. This is not a confirmation to anybody that's thinking about moving out of the Highway Holiness Church tonight. No. If you think that that's what this message is, forget it. What I'm preaching here tonight is not moving out of this church. What I'm preaching here tonight is moving from your pew to this altar.
Yeah. All right.
Hallelujah. That's the kind of move I'm talking about tonight. A move into the will of God. A move into the plan of God. The perfect will. A perfect plan of God. That's what this is all about tonight.
Right.
Hallelujah. When I was coming up here from Florida, it started raining in Athens. I was down in Athens, Georgia. It was raining really hard. And I didn't feel like going. But my feelings don't enter into it. My feelings don't dictate to me what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do. What dictates to me is this book. And if I do what this book says, then the feelings will line up. Hallelujah. You need to preach to your emotions and your feelings and let it be preached to by the Word of God and the will of God. I knew it was the will of God that I come up here, but I sure wasn't feeling like it. But I stepped out and said, God, you'll take care of me. You'll keep me on the highway. You'll keep everything just right. And I'll arrive at my destination when it's time for me to arrive there.
All right.
So it was raining so hard I couldn't hardly even see to drive down the road. And I had from Athens, Georgia to Hamilton, Ohio to go in one day. So I got into Tennessee around the Knoxville area and the sun started peeking through the clouds and I was praising the Lord and everything was, you know how you spend time in your car, you ain't got a lot to do except I listen to preaching tapes and music tapes and then I pray a while and then I go through messages in my mind and that's what I've got my mind on. What do you got your mind on? Hallelujah. So I started moving on up 75 and it started getting darker and it started getting colder and I didn't know what was going to happen and pretty soon it started pouring down rain again and I thought, well, I've already went through a couple of hundred miles already in the rain. I guess I can go in rain the rest of the way. So I was heading up, heading north, moving on down the highway and then pretty soon it got real dark and then pretty soon it started snowing. And this southern boy, Texas boy, sees snow about, I mean, as far as driving in it, about once, one or two days a year. And pretty soon that snow, it just kept getting bigger and bigger. Looked like those snowflakes were as big as a grapefruit. And the visibility came down almost to nothing. And I got up to Lexington, Kentucky, and I started feeling a stirring inside. I started feeling a fear that was trying to get into me. And so I started praying. I started getting in touch with God real good about that time.
Thank God.
I knew it was the Lord's will for me to be here. There's some things that I knew that I had to do. Number one, I knew that I had to keep moving. I knew that I had to keep rolling. I knew that I had to continue on. Yes, I did. I knew that to get to the place where God wanted me to go, I should not stop. I knew that I should not turn to the right or the left. I'd slide off the road and be a casualty. I knew that I had to continue it straight. I knew that I had to keep moving on, even when it got down to 20 miles an hour. Whenever I get in those little towns, there'd be lights on the highway and I could see better. I say, thank you, Lord, for the light. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I kept getting closer and closer to Cincinnati. But way down there, I guess Covington or wherever that is down there, even further south, the highways are lit up real good. Hallelujah. I knew I needed to pray, and I sure did pray. I knew that I should not lose hope that the Lord was going to take care of me. This may sound like a small thing to you, but it sure was a big thing for me on Thursday night. Hallelujah. And I knew that I need to keep looking for the lights. glory. I knew I needed to keep looking for the lights. And aren't we looking for the lights of that celestial city, that city where Sister Richardson is already located? Yes, she's already there. She was looking for the lights. She was looking for that city. She was looking for that place where there would be no more weeping and no more tears. Her loved ones would be there. You see, if you leave them now and you go with God, they'll see you and they'll go with God too, and you can end up back together again in the glory world. They're not going to have any confidence in you if you quit, if you backslide. That's not the testimony that's going to win them. Kept looking for the lights. When I got to Cincinnati, the roads cleared up and I said, thank you, Lord. Hell, I still had a ways to go. But you see, I knew that if I stopped, I'd be stranded and I never would make where I was going. I never would make my destination. You see, when Christians stop moving in God, they die.
Right.
When churches stop moving in God, they die. You see, when people retire, and I know there's senior citizens here tonight, and please don't take this as anything negative towards you, but I've read and I've heard and seen testimony that has said that when people that have been working all their lives, they retire and they stop working and they just begin to sit and become sedentary. It's not too much longer after that until they pass away. You got to keep moving. You got to keep traveling. You got to keep working. You gotta keep living. You gotta keep striving. You gotta keep traveling down this life's highway, this celestial highway that the Lord has put us on. If we stop, we'll die. If we stop, we'll stagnate. We need to move, just like God told Abram to move. Get out of that land of Ur. Go out of that land of Haran. Go to the promised land. There I'll be there, and I'll be with you. Abram made the move that made the difference. If the Israelites had never moved from Egypt, they would have never got to the promised land. They took a detour. Joshua finally did get them in there. If the 10 lepers said, why should we sit here until we die? If they had never moved, if they never got a motivation to get up from that place, their plight, their situation looked pretty bad. But they said, we can die here or we can move. Maybe there's some hope. Maybe there's an opportunity. Maybe there's something that'll take place that'll change our situation. Second Kings 5, Elisha told Naaman to move. Go down to that river Jordan and wash. Dip 7 times. He didn't want to move. But he wasn't going to get healed unless he moved. See, there's a problem, I believe, in our churches today. People have become stagnant. People have become bench warmers. People have become lackadaisical and lax in their relationship with God. And I want you to know tonight that it's time for you. It's time for I. It's time for us to make a move.
Thank God.
We're going to have to make a move if we're going to get anything from God. We're going to have to make a move if we're going to get into the promised land where the blessings are and the healings are and the wonderful gifts of God are. We're going to have to move. We're not going to be able to stay in this one place and become tied down to this one place that we are spiritually. But we're going to have to move in God. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram and his wife, his brother's son, their substance, and a lot of other people. When the Lord wants us to move, He doesn't want us just to move by ourselves, be selfish and stingy. He wants us to take somebody with us. Hallelujah. We need to take somebody with us when we come to the house of God. You see, it's the job, it's the work of the pastor to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Those that think the pastor, it's all his work, it's all his job, it's all his responsibility for the church to grow, they've missed it completely. It's his job to teach and to train and to exhort and to lead you into the evangelistic work of this church, to go out and invite them to come in so that they might be saved.
Yes.
If every one of you invited one person and I gave you the whole year to do it, you'd have to have a building project next year. Invite somebody to church. There's somebody that you know in your family that's not saved. There's somebody that you know at your work that's not saved. There's a neighbor that you know that's not saved. There's a someone, if you'll just pray that the Lord will bring that person into your life and you begin to work with them and minister to them and show them that you care about them and that you love them. Not only their material existence, but their soul. And they begin to trust you and see that you truly love them. When you invite them to the house of God, they will come. Abram took somebody with him. It's not good for man to be alone. No man is an island. We're not in this thing by ourselves. The work of the Lord that we're doing in the Ukraine, it's probably less than 10% the people that's going, and it's 90% the people that's sending. If you don't send, there's no going. It's your ministry. Those 100 people that got saved, they're the fruit of your ministry. I'm just a traveler. I'm just a pilgrim. Hallelujah. And your help has put me in a car where I can travel around this country, and in a plane where I can travel to other countries, and in trains, and what other modes of transportation, bicycles and by foot, whatever it takes to get this thing done and to get this thing across. Let's do it together.
Amen.
Verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. There builded he an altar unto the Lord. You see, he moved out. He took somebody with him. And when he got to where God wanted him to go, the Lord appeared unto him. Hallelujah. Isn't that what we need? You see, all your problems will melt away in the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, you see these temporal things, these things that seem to bother us so much, seem to get next to us so much, seem to eat at us, at our physical well-being, and our psychological well-being, and even at our spiritual well-being. Those things will fade. Those things will pass. Those things will be set aside when the Spirit of the Lord comes by. When the Lord came by that chaotic situation in the book of Genesis, and everything was dark, and everything was bleak, and the Lord began to move across that water. Things began to change. It wasn't too much longer after that till he started pronouncing things as good. We got to take some steps to get into the presence of the Lord. We got to make a move tonight. We got to make a move towards the will of God. If you're looking for a better time, there's no better time than right now. If you're looking for a better place, there's no better place than right here. If you're looking for a better opportunity, there's no better opportunity than the one that the Lord has given us right now. It's time for us to move. It's time for us to break out of this doldrums that we're stuck in and get going in God. Get moving in God. Be like the ant in Proverbs 6. Let's don't be sluggards. Let's don't be lazy. Let's get moving. Let's get working for God. If we don't, we'll never get to the promised land.
Amen.
It's time for us to move. For some of us, it may be just, thank you, Jesus. For some of us, it may be just, I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Some of us that need, some of you that need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're not going to get it until you make a move.
Right.
Let's make a move tonight. What is it that you need? You're going to need to move to it. And when you get to where the Lord is, where the presence of the Lord is, everything is going to change. There'll be glory. There'll be greatness in the presence of the Lord. There'll be wonder. There'll be blessings. There'll be healings. There'll be salvations. There'll be baptisms of the Holy Ghost. If we'll make a move, get out of that land of sin. Get out of that land of wickedness. Take this trip. Get on that celestial highway. Way, make our pilgrim's progress to the glory world.
Amen. Go on with God.
And he builded an altar unto the Lord. What is the altar? It's the place of sacrifice.
Yeah.
Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, we're not sacrificing bulls and goats and turtle doves and lambs in our dispensation. That's been completed. That's past.